podcast service of Quaker Gap Baptist Church in King, North Carolina, where our mission is to glorify God by growing Christ-like people.
I want to invite you to take your Bibles and turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6, we're going to be reading verses 4 through 9. And if you have your pew Bible, that's on page 130. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 through 9. Deuteronomy 6, starting with verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word to us this morning. And I pray, Father, that we indeed would be people of your word, that we might pass your word down to our children. Father, that we would be people who love Jesus with all of our heart, strength, and mind. And Father, that that would be passed down to our children, to our children's children, and beyond. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, the job of a mother is a heavy, heavy responsibility, if you think about it. Because God drops this wet ball of clay into your lap, you know, and you've got this wet ball of clay in your lap, and it's your job with your values, with your faith, with your personality, with everything that you are, that God has given you, and everything that you've learned from the generations before you, to take this wet ball of clay that has been dropped in your lap and to shape it little by little. And it's growing as you're shaping it. And it begins to push against you and harden as you continue to try and shape it. But eventually, the goal of a mother, the goal of any parent, is to shape that ball of clay into the image of Jesus Christ. That our children would be like the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we as parents and you as mothers this morning have many, many priorities for your children, right? You have plenty of priorities. There's lots of things that you would like to see your children get involved in and to become, and you have dreams for them and aspirations, and there are priorities that you push them toward. For example, we all want our children to be sports stars, right? That's why we put them on the soccer field, the softball field, the little league field. Early, we start them off and say, I want my child to succeed in sports, to be active and healthy and fit, and I want them to hold the trophy above their head, and I want to be going to the major league games and sitting behind home plate and watching them as they pitch. And we've got these dreams and aspirations for our children. And then, you know, some of the kids, we find out early, maybe they're not going to be, you know, sports stars. So we say, well, my child's going to be a musician. Now, I've seen some that it can be both, but this is another priority that we place on our kids. You know, I'm going to teach them how to play an instrument. They're going to become so good at that that they're going to be in the symphony someday. They're going to be up in front of thousands and thousands of people. They're going to be on American Idol. They're going to win first place, and I just know that my child has it in them musically. I'm going to give them lessons. I'm going to pay for those lessons. They're going to be in the band, and I'm going to support them and be at every band concert I can possibly attend. And sometimes we want our kids to just be smart. We want our kids to graduate from school. We want our kids to be the valedictorian of their class. You know, we want them to sit in the front seats. We want them to be the one that gets up in front of everyone and gives the speech or says the prayer in front of the whole school. We want our children to be number one. And so we push them and we sit down with them at night and help them do their homework to make sure that it's done properly. And we pull our hair out. And when we get report cards, our heart rises or our heart drops. And mothers, you know what I'm talking about. This is one of our priorities is, as parents, is to see that our children succeed and that they get the scholarships and get to a good school. And we want people to be talking about our children. Did you hear what school that child's going to? Really? Wow. We want our children to be impressive academically. On top of that, we want them to be healthy. We want them to be strong. We want them to be fit. We want them to eat the right foods. We want our children to be attractive. And so we do whatever we can in order to make sure that is done as well. And then we want our children to be artists. And that's why when they're young, we take their little pictures that they bring home from preschool and we put them on the refrigerator and we say, look at that, you know. There was a certain time in my life where my mom stopped doing that because the stuff was just ugly, right? I think she gave up on that dream. Artist, no. Maybe something else. But not an artist. But we want our children to succeed, and we want them to be able to create beautiful things, and we promote this, and we encourage this. We want our children to be rich, to earn lots of money, to get a great job where they can support their family, and they can support us maybe someday when we need it. And so we want our children to succeed in life and in school and get a great job and become rich. And, you know, we're in a church right now, so we don't like to talk about that very much, you know. That's a priority that we like to sweep under the rug. We don't talk about that at church because we don't want people to think that we're, you know, materialistic or worldly. But you know what? Your conversation gives you away, all right? Because even in church, I hear people talk sometimes. Did you hear so-and-so's son is going to be a lawyer? Wow, I wonder what his salary will be. And we're impressed by these things. Even though we say, oh, I'm not really impressed with money, that's shallow. We talk about these things as if they're impressive and it gives us away. We also want our children to have lots of friends. We want them to get along. And we want them to be able throughout life to have a series of friends around them. Because, and one of the reasons for that is maybe we can remember those awkward, lonely teenage years that we went through. And the times when we thought, man, I wish I had more friends. We say, I'm going to just make sure that my kid has sleepovers and parties and friends all around. I want to be that mom, right? You want to be that mom that has all of that going on and all the kids over. Now you can add your own priorities here. You know, you can add some more priorities to this list. I'm sure you've got them. The things that you push your kids toward, that you want to see your kids succeed in, those are the priorities that you have. But since we're in church, okay, let's talk about their relationship with Christ, right? We want our kids to be followers of Christ. We want them to know the Word of God. We want them to have faith in Christ. We want them to pray and to be excited about coming to church and being a part of the youth group. And so we want our children to have a relationship with Christ. Well, this passage that we just read, the first priority in this passage is love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. That's the number one priority that was given to Israel. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, and strength, everything that you are. The Lord needs to be the number one priority in your life. That's what Moses was telling the people of Israel. And this is the job of mom and dad, because as he continues throughout this passage, he starts talking about our responsibility to our children. That the job of the mother and father is to emphasize this priority above all others. Children, that you are to love the Lord your God with all your heart, and that should be priority number one. So the goal of Christian parenthood is to raise children who are, first of all, centered in Christ. If you're a Christian mother this morning, your goal is to raise children who are centered in the Lord Jesus Christ. Another way of saying this is by rearranging our picture. Rearranging our picture so that all of these other priorities don't go away. I still want my kid to be a sports star and a great musician and to be an artist. And I still want my child to have friends and to be successful in life. And I want my child to be strong. I want all of these things. I want them to be smart and to succeed in every area of their life. I want to discover what their gifts are and to help them to achieve, to be all that God has created them to be in that area, but to hear the word God in there. See, in the center, the most important priority, the foundation, the bricks upon which their entire life stands, is their relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. So yeah, I want them to be a sports star, but above that, I want them to be good sports and to be an example on the field and a leader on the field because of their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Yeah, I want them to be musicians. I want them to be able to stand up with their guitar and sing great songs, but I would love for those songs to be songs of worship to our God that come from a heart that is filled with Him. Yeah, I want my kids to have friends, but I want them to have a relationship with God that is so strong that when they're popular in the midst of all these friends, that they're leading those friends closer to the Lord rather than them being dragged away from the Lord because they're seeking after popularity. All of these things are great. All of these priorities we should be pushing for. However, the central priority for our children and for us as parents is, I want my kid to have a strong relationship with Jesus Christ, and the rest of their life can just flow as God is in the middle of it all. That's what I want for my kids. I pray this morning that that's true of all of us, and sometimes we get off track. Sometimes some of those other priorities take the center, and sometimes their relationship with God and their faith gets pushed off to the side, and they become unbalanced. And we need to be careful as parents this morning that we keep the Lord Jesus Christ at the center of our lives and at the center of their lives. So, Jesus once said, "What does it benefit a man to gain the whole world but lose his soul?" And we might change that a little bit this morning. So, what does it benefit my child to gain the whole world, all of these priorities that I've set before them, all of the dreams? What does it benefit them if they are able to accomplish every last dream that I had for them when that wet ball of clay was dropped in my lap? I've shaped them into everything. What will it matter if in the end they don't have the Lord Jesus Christ and they haven't been nurtured and raised in Him? So we need to learn to tend to the soul first, to tend to their relationship with God first. The goal of Christian parenthood is to raise children who are, number one, centered in Christ, and number two, nourished in Christ. Nourished in Christ. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 6, starting with verse 6. It says, "These commandments that I give to you today are to be upon your hearts." So he's talking to the adults in Israel. He's saying, look, the commandments I've given to you, they are on your hearts. They're supposed to be a part of who you are. But then the next verse, verse 6 says, or verse 7 says, "Now impress them on your children." We've made a shift from one verse to the next, from verse 6 to verse 7, from "these commandments are to be on your heart" to now saying "these commandments are to be on your children's hearts." And that transformation is supposed to take place from us to them, from the parent to the child. And perhaps the best illustration I can give you of that is the way that we feed our children, the way that we nourish our children. Our children learn how to eat and what to eat from us, believe it or not. Is that a good thing or a bad thing this morning? Mothers, you understand this better than anyone because you brought the child into the world and you nursed your child. And as you were nursing your child, you recognized that all of the food that went into your mouth that was processed by your body, it became a part of you, was then fed to your children. You understood the direct connection between what you were feeding yourself and what was going into your children. You recognized that if you're nursing a baby, there are certain things that you should not eat in order to protect that child. And perhaps you knew you shouldn't eat those things anyway, nursing or not nursing. But there is an illustration here, of course, of our spiritual nourishment and how we feed our children as well. Because it continues. It's not just about nursing, but it continues beyond that, because then you end up at the grocery store and now you're making decisions about what you're going to buy and what you're going to put on your shelves and what you're going to cook and what you're going to present before your children. We make decisions about where we're going to take our children for a quick bite to eat and what they're going to have and what that's going to be. And so we as parents have a great responsibility in teaching our children what to eat and how to eat. And it's true spiritually as well. Call it the principle of spiritual nursing. Mothers, what you take in your life, spiritually speaking, and what you put into action, and what becomes a part of you, spiritually speaking, if the Word of God is going into your life and becoming a part of you, that will be passed down to your children, and they will be nourished because you are nourished. They will learn what to do with the Word of God and how to take the Word of God in and what faith in Jesus Christ looks like by watching you. That's why Moses was so clear here in Deuteronomy to say, look, these things should be first upon your hearts, and then you can impress them on your children. Don't try to impress on your children something that's not first on your heart. Don't try to teach your child a particular diet if you're not willing to live by that same diet yourself. Call it spiritual nursing. Now, some of us say, yeah, my kid's got a spiritual diet. I bring them to Sunday school. I bring them to youth group, children's church. I bring them to Christian camps, vacation Bible school. All those things are great. You know, they go to after-school Bible studies at their school. All these things are wonderful, and I'm glad that you give those things to your children. But let me tell you what those things are. They're supplements. They're supplements. They get their day-to-day spiritual nutrition from you. And you supplement that spiritual nutrition with the programs that the church offers. Now, you don't expect your kids to live off of chewable Flintstone vitamins, do you? Neither should you expect your kids spiritually to live off of Sunday school and children's church, although you certainly should give those things to them. But it should be a supplement to what's already taking place in the home. The goal of Christian parenthood is to raise children who are centered in Christ, who are nourished in Christ, and who are imprinted with Christ. The verse says, impress these commandments on your children. Now, please understand what I'm saying here. For Israel, as Moses was writing this, he had just given them the Ten Commandments and was sharing the law with them. And he says, look, you need to have these commandments on your heart and you need to impress them on your children. And I'll tell you today as a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ that we as parents, yeah, we do have a responsibility to teach our children the Ten Commandments, but more important than that, much more important than that, we need to teach our children who Jesus Christ is, because he is the fulfillment of the law. The fulfillment of those Ten Commandments is the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one who said the most important commandment is the same commandment Moses brought up, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind. You need to love God. And so the Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross in order that we who break the Ten Commandments might have salvation from our sins. So we today, if Moses were speaking to us, with everything that we know about the Lord Jesus Christ and his death on the cross and his resurrection, what he's done for us would say, look, what you need to impress on the hearts of your children is Jesus Christ, him, the fulfillment of the law. So, Moses says, impress these things on your children. The word impress means repeat. Over and over and over and over again until this message of Jesus Christ is tattooed on their heart. It's there forever. It cannot be removed. You have repeated it and repeated it and repeated it, and now it is imprinted on their soul. And that is our job as parents. We sometimes use this verse that says, train a child in the way that they should go, and when they are older, they will not depart from it. No, we use that verse. And sometimes we use that verse as an excuse. When our children start to walk away from the Lord, we say, wait a second. The Bible says they're going to do this, right? Understand, they're going to walk away from God. And some of you are in that position perhaps now where you have a child who's not walking with the Lord, and you say, well, I train them up in the way that they should go. And so, when they're older, they'll have an opportunity to return to it. Boy, I pray and I pray and I pray that that's the truth. But first part of that verse is so important, folks. Don't miss it. Because they need to have something to turn back to. So we need to start when they are young and to impress upon them who Jesus Christ is and what he's done for them and what that means to every area of their life. Start when they're young and train them up in the way that they should go so that when they are older, they'll have something to go back to. So I pray that this morning this is an encouragement to our mothers to instill their faith in their children. The passage of Scripture says in verse 7, here's how you impress these things on your children. Talk about them. Talk about them when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, when you lie down, and when you get up. He's trying to talk about all areas of life. He's saying, look, every area of your life, all-inclusive, no matter where you are. You're lying down, you're standing up, you're walking, you're running, whatever you're doing. Impress these things on your children. And I would say, talk about the Lord Jesus Christ and what he means to you and who he is every opportunity you get. every disappointment that they have, every victory that they have, sit down and talk to them about what does this mean to you, and what does this mean to a believer in Jesus Christ, and how does this influence you and your faith? And then he says, tie them as symbols to your hands and to your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. And I believe this was supposed to be symbolic. I think Moses was saying this is the symbolism. What he's saying is, look, these things are so important that they should be fastened to your brain. These things are so important that they should be like a string that you wrap around, that you see on your hand. It's a reminder. It should be on your hand. It should be so important that when you walk into your house, there is a delineation between the world and your home. When you're in the world, things are different. There are different priorities. There are different things going on. When you walk through that gate or through that doorway into your home, things change. Suddenly, this is the place where Jesus is taught, where our faith is affirmed. And so we should put these things on our foreheads and on our hands and on our gates and on our doorposts. And the Jews took it literally, and they made things called phylacteries and mezuzahs. Phylacteries, these little leather boxes that they put the Ten Commandments in, and they stuck them on their heads, and they wrapped them around, and they tied them onto their hands, and they walked around with these things. And then they had the mezuzahs, which was a little thing that they put on their door frame that had the law, the Ten Commandments, stuffed into it, as well as the Shema, which is this verse, Deuteronomy 6:4. And they put these on their door frames and on their city gates and in these little boxes and attached them to their homes. And to them, this was, they were saying, we're going to take this symbolic thing, we're going to take it, and we're going to live it out. We're going to do this for real. And we do the same thing, by the way. We have phylacteries and mezuzahs as well. We wear Christian t-shirts that have words on them. We've got our bracelets that have the, you know, scripture verses on them. We have crosses that we wear around our neck. And what are we doing? Well, we're wearing phylacteries. We have mezuzahs too. I go into some of your homes and I see these beautifully cross-stitched passages of scripture hanging on the walls, that you've got the Word of God, on magnets on your refrigerators. It's all over the place. I see it. So we have phylacteries and mezuzahs too. What's important here is that these things, the phylacteries and the mezuzahs, they only tend to highlight our hypocrisy as parents if they are not backed up with our lives. And let me tell you something about children. They have hypocrisy radar. Kids are good at this. You know, have you ever had your kid come before you and say, you say this, but you do this. Don't tell me what to do. I see what you do. Boy, kids are good at pointing that thing out. Yeah, this verse has been hanging on our wall since I was a little kid, but I don't really know what it means as I watch my parents live. Be careful. I had a friend named Michael when I was growing up whose mother taught him not to smoke. Do not smoke. It is a dirty habit. But she was a chain smoker who could not put the things down. And in her car and her home and everywhere, there was smoke. But she said, don't you dare smoke, to her child. Tragically, she died of emphysema when he was still very young. And he learned the lesson, don't smoke, from his mother, but not in the way that she wanted him to learn it. So let's be careful when we talk to our kids about spiritual things, that we're living these principles, we're living our faith, and that Christ is at the center of our lives as well as at the center of their lives. Now, I have many wonderful examples of mothers that are right in front of me right now that I could drag up here one by one, and each one could give you tips on being a mother. You know, I'm not a mother myself, so I don't know what I'm talking about with motherhood, right? Last year, I was smart enough to have a mother come up here and give the message. That was a good choice, and maybe I should have done that again this year. I don't know. But here's the truth. I have a great mother, and I'm married to a great mother, and I have a great mother-in-law who is here today, so I've earned points there as well. let's just be honest, right? But wonderful mothers speckled throughout this auditorium, many of them behind me, who could come up here and tell you some great tips about how to lead your children to the Lord, how to emphasize faith with your kids, and that would be wonderful. But we all need encouragement from time to time. And that's what I'm doing this morning. I'm pulling this old verse out of the book of Deuteronomy that was written to Israel, and I'm saying this. Look, this applies to us today. Let's make sure that when we parent our children, mothers, fathers, aunts, uncles, even if you don't have a child, you have a responsibility toward children. Say, my life is going to be centered in Jesus Christ, and I'm going to pass that value, that priority, priority number one to them. I want my children to be centered in Christ, to be nourished in Christ, and to be imprinted with Christ. Another way of putting that is I want to put first things first. Because if first things are first in mom's life, then first things will more likely be first in the child's life. And if they're not, I can guarantee you the child will never forget. And the conscience of that child will scream out against them for the rest of their life if they are not walking with the Lord as they should, because they had that example early on. Mothers, I want to ask you if you would stand. If you are a mother here today, please stand. And I want to just pray a prayer of blessing over you today. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for each and every one of these mothers who is here this morning. And Lord, I just pray that they've heard your word this morning in the spirit in which it was delivered. Father, that they would be encouraged and challenged. And Lord, that you would help them if they are already impressing upon their children the value of faith in Jesus Christ, that you would help them to continue. Give them the strength and the courage in a world that is turned against Jesus Christ to raise children in a home where Jesus Christ is honored, where he is number one. And Father, I pray for any of our mothers who are here who are struggling with this today. Father, I just pray that you would give them an extra ounce of encouragement. Fill them with your Holy Spirit. Help them, Lord, to hear the word today and to desire, Father, to have a home where you are number one. So, Lord, thank you for your word. And I know that when your word is delivered, it never comes back empty. So I pray, Father, for your will to be done in the lives of these mothers. Lord, that they would be even better at what they do. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.